You're tuned to Focus on Campus, the weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Luis Sainz, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today are Emma Montes and Brian Seeley, and they are here to talk about the upcoming production of A Christmas Carol. And this is a show that has become a tradition for UTEP and the Department of Theater and Dance. Thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you, Louis.
Thank you.
Let's start with you, Emma. First of all, tell us a little bit about your career in acting. First of all, are you a theater major?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And what made you get interested in becoming an actress? Because as we were talking before the show started, most of us as kids would role play and we would, you know, put on whatever, you know, if a boy, they said, you know, don't use guns, they would give us a stick, we'd turn it into a gun, or a carrot, we'd turn it into a gun. But we would always, you know, become great little actors. So is this something that you did as a child? And is that what got you interested? Or what got you interested?
Of course, I most definitely acted out role play as a child. But when I was 10 years old, I actually acted for UTEP. And I was in a production called The Nightingale. It was directed by Ivan Carranza, and it was in the Wise Family Theater. And I got the lead role as the Empress of Japan. And ever since then, I knew I wanted to be an actress.
And as far as when you're that young, you're 10 years old, of course, most children are not really shy. It's great to interview children because children will say whatever's on their mind. And you know, there used to be a show on TV, Art Linkletter, Kids Say the Darnest Things. And, of course, it was followed later by Bill Cosby. As far as your acting for that role, you said you got excited and you wanted to do that for the rest of your life. So, obviously, you were not nervous at all.
No. Actually, I was just talking to Brian about this. I have never gotten nervous going on stage before. So,
does that make you nervous that you aren't getting nervous?
It probably should, but it doesn't.
And tell us about this role that you're playing, because as we've talked before, this is a play that a lot of people are familiar with. And, of course, it's your job to make it different so they'll remember you. And they'll say, you know, I've seen The Christmas Carol several times, but there's one performance that I really remember, this young lady, blah, blah, blah. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing different or what the director told you to do different and perhaps what has been the most difficult, challenging about this.
Well, the most difficult challenge on my part as Belle, Scrooge's fiance, is, well, one, it's right before intermission, and it has to be a good scene because we want people to come back after intermission. Another thing is it's really challenging because this is one of the most heartbreaking scenes in A Christmas Carol because the love of Scrooge's life leaves him, and this was probably the only person he's ever loved. And I try to, I don't know how to put this. It's difficult working with another person and trying to find the same level of balance between the scene. I've never worked with this individual who's playing young Scrooge. So working together for a first time, that's also a difficult process because you don't know how they act, how they react to certain things. And it's all a learning experience right now, but I believe once we get everything perfect, it'll look amazing because so far it's come a long way from where it started, and I'm really excited. The second character I play is actually my favorite character, and that is the laundress. And now I really like this character because after our last rehearsal, I learned that we were going to be doing a fight scene with the laundress. So that's going to be very different this year. I'm really excited to do that because I am now learning stage fighting techniques.
That's got to be a hard technique for you to learn. But at the same time, accidents happen and there have been times when people actually get hurt.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it, though. The one thing that makes it difficult is the Wise Theater is a thrust stage. And it's very easy for someone to see a faked staged choreographed fight, and it's difficult on our part to keep it looking as real as possible, which is why we're learning so many stage techniques And I'm really excited for the fight, though. It looks really good so far.
I'm glad you brought up the stage techniques, because that was going to be my next question for Brian. Brian, and we'll get to you, to the part of about you wanting to become an actor in a little bit. But as Emma mentioned, techniques, tell us a little bit about what do you mean by techniques? Because we all have different techniques, whether it be here in broadcasting, whether it be in writing. What are some of the techniques that have helped you become a better actor?
Well, I'm taking acting fundamentals with Chuck Gordon, and he's taught us about analyzing the script and finding and separating it into different sections known as beats. And in doing this, you sort of you have a better idea of what you're doing and what you, I mean, what you are physically, literally doing. And when it comes to doing things to your scene partner and getting things from your scene partner rather than just getting on stage and acting, you're doing things. And I've learned a lot in that class, and it's really helped my my techniques. I've learned quite a bit in that class, yes.
Now, as far as your part, because for people who have not seen this particular play, and of course it changes every year, but one of the roles that the way it's presented is Charles Dickens narrates, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you play the part of Charles Dickens. So tell us, as far as projecting and getting the, you know, the feel of that era and being Charles Dickens, was that difficult for you?
Well, I did a little bit of research, and the play takes place, or not, it doesn't take place, but the play was, the story of A Christmas Carol was written in 1843. And so I had to get a feel for London in that time period. And, you know, of course, I looked up, I did research on Charles Dickens, and Charles Dickens was a, he was very theatrical. He really enjoyed reading his stories in public, and so it's very appropriate for him to be the narrator of his own play. He was very energetic and very excited about his work, and so I take that into my performance, and I revel in the narrating it. The play is presented as a play within a play. It is his story, but he's presenting it as a preview before copies go on sale. And so it's him, his wife, his children, and an able company of players. And as such, it is his world that he's created in within the confines of this play. And so I sort of I take that as, you know, I'm in total control of it. It's my world, it's my play, and so I present it, and I live in this world, and the whole stage is mine when I'm on there. I can do anything because it's my imagination that's on there, as Charles Dickens, of course. And so it's very fun to be able to be free of, you know, living within the confines of the play. It's you know, presenting the play instead of being in the play. It's interesting, and it's something I've never done before.
At the same time, though, as being playing the part of Charles Dickens and being the narrator, you're not just being the narrator. You're not just being Charles Dickens, but you're telling story. You're a storyteller, and so you have to be careful when you're out there in front of the audience, standing by yourself, that the way you project is like you're telling your story, and you're telling a story to the audience. And I'm sure that when you're up there, you feel like, who am I talking to? Am I doing okay? I'm by myself. I'm telling this story. And did you have to work at all on your dialect, gestures, you know, body language, all that stuff?
Well, Charles Dickens speaks in received pronunciation, which is it's also known as the BBC accent. It's the accent most commonly associated with England and it's the most commonly known British accent. But I'm also playing Bob Cratchit, and Cratchit he's much lower class than Dickens, and so he speaks in a lower class Northern London accent, and it's very fun to go from received pronunciation to a to a sort of Cockney accent. When Charles Dickens, when a Bob Cratchit scene is presented, Dickens puts on a scarf and gloves, and that's the distinction. He plays the character in his own play, and so it's fun to go to be speaking in received pronunciation. I'm Charles Dickens, and then you know I go into Bob Cratchit, and it's oh hello hello, and so it's very very fun. It's I wouldn't say it's a challenge, but it's just a game.
And Emma, what about your part as far as switching back and forth? As you mentioned, the first one, it's right before intermission, and then later on, you do still have to keep the attention of the audience, but at the same time, you have to be natural. You have to sound natural, and a lot of times people will say, well, we can tell that she's acting because of the way she's speaking. That doesn't sound very natural. And I'm not saying you're doing that because you've been doing it for so many years. So if somebody were to ask you, what is your secret? Do you have to get in front of a mirror and practice for hours and hours, or do you get into that character when you're first assigned it and just stay with that until the play is over?
Yes, I do get in front of a mirror every once in a while. But I also like to, with this play, it has a lot of dialect because, of course, we're in London. But I do walk around the house every once in a while as one of my characters. And I like to take their characterization and I walk around like them and I talk like them. Of course, it annoys my parents till no end, but they have to deal with it because I'm an actress. But I tend to not think of them as a character. I tend to think of them as a real person that I have become. 'Cause it's all about me becoming the character, not the character becoming me. I try not to put so much of myself into a character because that's when an audience can tell that it's fake and that's something that I would do and not something that my character would actually do.
And of course, one of the things that we've not talked about and that helps you tremendously and it adds to the production, and these guys work very hard, and these are the guys who put up the sets, the sound effects, the lighting, all that. From seeing it last year, it was incredible. And so people don't realize how much work goes on behind the scenes. And these guys, I mean, they have to do all the sounds on cue. Everything has to be just right. And sometimes if they mess it up, that's where you guys come in as actors and, you know, have to ad lib or do something, improvisation. Tell us a little bit about behind the scenes. And have you already done the complete dress rehearsal, everything with the scenes, or are you still working little by little on it?
Well, the set, speaking in terms of the set, it's a six-year-old set. It was completed for the first production of A Christmas Carol, and it's been used ever since then. It's a very reliable set, and it's very, very cool. I mean, it's all on wheels, and it's and the scene changes. They spin around and do all sorts of things. And the costumes, though, I'm a very small person, and last year Dickens was rather large. And so things had to be taken in, and the costumes are different, a little bit different every year. But as far as dress rehearsal, we have not had one yet. We're still working on that.
Some of the thing that impressed a lot of people, and I heard that last year, was when the spirits visit Scrooge, the sound effects were just incredible.
Oh, yes. Bob Marley has this – I mean, not Bob Marley. Jacob Marley has this sound cue. He screams at Scrooge to prove that he's this incredible supernatural creature. And the sound cue is going to be this very horrible and loud, supernatural, unhuman scream.
Well, we'd like to thank you both very much for taking the time to be with us here today. And if people are interested, when does it start? It starts on December 16th.
December 16th.
And it runs through the 22nd. And again, if you need additional information, you can call the Ticket Center or the Department of Theater and Dance, 747-5146, or you can go to www.theaterdance.utep.edu and get more information. Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.